And in the agency, we had assignments, and we'd have to go on some of these assignments to make sure that we could be of any assistance to the ones who were carrying them out. Even though we never directly participated in them, we just got behind the main group and tried not to get killed. And the only ones I ever knew that got killed were in the USS Liberty that I've told you about before off the coast of Israel and the northern coast of Egypt. And I wasn't over there. I was back in Defsmack, which is where we listen to all the things that are going on in the world, and they have interpreters there, and they're breaking them down and interpreting them as the action occurs. Now, God tries to lead me all the time. And I didn't realize how stubborn I was and how self-centered I was. I had no idea. You know, I knew I was totally depraved, but every day that I live, I'm understanding I'm more totally depraved. I'm not doing the things I used to do. I don't have a desire for them. I don't like to watch. You know, I used to be addicted to football and different types of things. When I was young, I was thoroughly addicted to them. But as time has changed and as I've pastored this church, I've probably grown a whole lot more up here than I ever grew before. I've discovered myself. And I've discovered what it means, trust not in your own wisdom and understanding. Don't do it. Well, don't blame me. And if a preacher tells you, well, I never did that, maybe he's in the same state I used to be. And so all I can do is tell you that I just try to do what God wants. Now, what God called me to do was what I did. The reason he sent me to this church, one of the reasons, well, he wanted me here, and I thank God he did, because I love all of you. And I didn't know how to love when I came up here. God has taught me. I still got a long way to go, but I've learned a lot about how to love people and how to really honestly, genuinely consider them, and why the Roman centurion said, you don't have to come yourself. I'll take care of it. You just go ahead and do what I told you, what I ask you. He said, I send one soldier this way and one soldier that way, and he said, I tell them what to do. And he was telling Jesus, I know you do that. Well, he would have to know who Jesus was or have a pretty good idea to make that kind of statement. It doesn't tell you much about his background, except he was a Roman. He was a Roman centurion. He was over a certain group of men. And I began to learn from that episode, and I began to learn when I finally realized, why did Abraham become a friend of God? Because he gave in to him. And why did God love David so much? Because David was a hard-headed mule. And finally, God broke him, and he gave in to him. And then David's life from there on out was one of happiness and bliss, and he died happy. So I've learned a lot. God taught me. I taught myself a lot of things, and I'm having to shake them off. Now, I believe God sent me here, one of the reasons, he wanted to find a group of people that would let me run all over the world. And if you think that I enjoyed running all over the world, I didn't. In Lithuania and places like that, I went up there in the wintertime. And Lithuania is in northern Russia. And I had some experiences over there in ice cold water. And the guy's house I was staying in wanted me to go over and get in. We were right there on the North Sea. He wanted me to go with him every morning and go swimming. And I told him, forget it. Anyway, it's very important to me because I believe it's what God wants me to do. To tell you what I have come to believe, because I think I understand it now in its purest form, even the things that are going to happen before Israel attacks. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through something that I talked about a long, long time ago. And it involves a beast, the Antichrist, both a kingdom and its king. And it involves him as the king of love. It involves him as the king of all power. It involves the tribulation period. But it involves some things that have to do with the very characteristics that God himself manifested in Jesus Christ as a man and fulfilled his own prophecies by his own power. You say, well, that must have been easy for God. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because the man had to keep coming to God, keep coming to God, keep coming to God, and asking him to strengthen him. That's why he went apart and prayed so much. And the man never sinned. But it says that God was well pleased with him. And it doesn't mean that he was separate from God. It means he fulfilled the role of the Son perfectly in human flesh that was sinless. Now, I'm not going to go back and go through all that again. Y'all have sat here and listened to that now for, I guess, 10 years. But the truth of the matter is, I'm just going to talk to you about some things. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off on this first page. And whenever it comes time for us to quit, I will always let you out on time. You say, ah, now you're lying. Maybe not. Maybe not. Vicar. He calls me the vicar. Pray for that man. He's praying against his pastor. I think that's a good title for me. I am the vicar. So you better shape up, Ken. You're what they call in the first kingdoms a peon. And the vicar tells peons what to do. But you just do whatever you want, sweet Donna. Now, we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at this. And then I'm going to detail as I go through. And if you want to ask questions, you may. And if I get to the point where I say, well, I've answered it as best I can, and I'm going to answer that later in greater detail, but I'll try to give you a general understanding of what I think it means. We're going to talk about a beast and both the kingdom and its king. It's going to involve the 10 toes. It's going to involve the 7 heads. It's going to explain why there's an 8th head. It's going to go through all this because this has taken me a lifetime to figure out, not a lifetime, but from the time that God began to work in me when I was saved. And even while I was not going to church, I was studying all the time, the Bible, and I was listening to the radio, and I was listening to Ben Bogart, and a lot of things got in my head. And I'm not the type of person that just says, oh, I sure like you. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I believe that. Because I like you. Because you're supposed to like everybody, whether they believe what you do or not. But I am the type of person that really tries to find out why. And God says, try me. Well, I didn't try him in the sense that I didn't believe him, and he didn't mean that when he said, try me. It means that God wants you to study it out for yourself, and you don't have to believe me. Now, Robert is responsible for what I'm going to do here. When I used to teach Sunday school, I taught just exactly like he did. I would teach it, and then I had studied it line for line, verse for verse, and I had gotten it to where I fully studied it. And in a Sunday school lesson, if it differed from what they taught, I would simply skip over what they taught, not say anything bad about them, and just teach the lesson. And when I got to that part, you know, I'd say, well, we'll just continue that next time and go on. And I meant maybe 20 years from now. But in any case, that was a long time ago at Antioch, and they thought I was a dimple darling, and I thought I was too. The bad thing was I thought I was too, and I'm not. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to discuss this first verse. Now, if you ask me a question, I will answer it. But after I answer it, I will tell you, I may ask you to wait a while before I tell you exactly what it means. Because I have changed my mind about Revelation. Now, I know preachers that went to the seminary, and I'm not knocking them, and they taught them about Revelation. But the teachers all had different opinions about it. And so they picked their favorite instructor, and I had favorites. I had 2 instructors that were my favorite. Well, I had 3. Well, really, I really liked all of them. But I had 2 that were my favorites. And so I tended to follow what they taught if I didn't know myself what I had already been taught. Now, I'm going to start, and here we go. Now, what's going to happen next tomorrow night, I'm going to continue on this same sheet. I will stop wherever we are. I will then go down on that as far as I can. I don't care how far we get. You say, well, what about Sunday morning? I'm going to continue right from where I was. And they got it all on tape out there. Now, what I'll do is like John James did. It took him 40 years to teach the first chapter of the book of Galatians. He says, now let's review. How many years did it take us to finish that? But we live in the last days. Now, why am I doing this? I want you to know this is what I was supposed to do. And that's why I ran all over the world. They've still got people reading my books. They've still got people that are teaching some of the things in them. And that's why God called me to preach. And that's why God broke me. I'm a broken horse. I've bucked against him for so long. I didn't even know I was bucking. But I grieved him. I quenched him. What's the other one?
Resist.
What?
Resist.
You got it right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Donna, for briefing him at home. In any case, that's what I did. I didn't know it. And I thought I was doing you a favor by giving you my divine wisdom here while I was telling you what you all ought to be doing. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to go line by line, verse by verse, and show you what this is. And believe me, before I'm finished, Lord willing, if I live that long, I'm going to give you a full book of what I know about Revelation. And I want you to know it's come at a very great price of eyesight. I got four different kind of lenses in here. Okay, Revelation 13, 1 through 4. And I stood upon the sea. Now, don't worry about the 1 through 4. We'll catch that later on here. That you can see it goes on down into Revelation and Revelation 13, 2, so forth and so on. Revelation 13, 1 through 4. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea. You say, well, why? Because it's often referred to that as the sea. It would have been referred to as the sand of the as the sand of the Hinder Sea, the hand of the Eastern Sea. The Dead Sea's got many different names, but this is the Mediterranean Sea. You got any questions on that? I'll tell you that that's where the other kingdoms were all bordering on that, out of which these various characters would come that we'll be talking about through the rest of the book of Revelation. You can go back and ask me a question when I'm finished with this verse and say, well, what about this? What about that? I'll be honest with you. I won't avoid your question, but I will tell you that we are definitely going to get to this later, but I'll give you at least a partial answer. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. He's coming out of Syria. Syria borders on the Mediterranean Sea, up at the northern part. Extension goes over there, and they've got a Russian seaport there now. And it's there for a reason and a purpose. They've got Russian ships all anchored in it, and it's with perfect permission of the actual Syrian president, Bashar Assad. And he's going to be replaced, and later on you'll see why I say that. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now notice, it's got seven heads, and it's got 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. I will tell you that the seven heads represent the seven governments that have affected and will affect Israel, as well as one that has not yet risen but will rise, and there will be an eighth head. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. Now notice there's a difference between heads and crowns. The crowns are on the heads. And how many horns on each one? Well, we'll get to that eventually. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. When I first came up here, after I had taken the courses, graduated from the seminary, knew the Greek language, I thought, well, what is blasphemy? It's to call someone a liar. Now, there's different kinds of blasphemy, but that's it. And I mean, if you call somebody a liar and you say, that's not the truth, that's a lie, that's blasphemy. And if you call the Lord's word and misuse the Lord's word and you don't follow it and you come up with something that God doesn't approve of, well, then it's blasphemy. Well, the sin of blasphemy itself, there is only one. And the sin of blasphemy that will never be forgiven is if you do not receive the word of God's Holy Spirit when he convicts your heart over and over and over and over again, you're calling him a liar. Now, you may be real nice and real gentle about it. You may be scared to death about it. But if you keep doing it long enough, you'll just get the point. Well, yeah, that's not so. And pretty soon, you'll just be waxed over, and God didn't do it. You did it. Now, God knew that people would do that. And knowing that, God devised a plan where we have a free choice. Every one of you had a free choice. I had a free choice. And my free choice was when God's Spirit kept convicting me, I don't know how much longer he'd have done it, but he did it for 4 years. And all of a sudden, one day, man, I was always scared. He didn't have any problem scaring the fire out of me. And some of those, because I was born in the era of fire and brimstone preaching. And I thank God for it. It's what was needed at that time. And the devil was starting to gain a foothold, and the devil was starting to gain power. And he was penetrating our churches. And many Missionary Baptist churches were going over to Southern Baptist. And I couldn't understand why my grandfather didn't like Southern Baptist. Man, thanks to some of the best girls I ever went with were Southern Baptist. I couldn't understand it. How can he not like these sweet people? And also their parents and everything. I liked them. They were real nice. And I would go to their church and they would preach Christ crucified. They would preach that blood is total covering for our sins. They would teach that you were supposed to keep the church ordinances. Yeah, they believe it or not, they did. Now, some of you that are young, I consider most people that are under 50 young or 40, and you're young. And you didn't go through. Well, Carly, you didn't go through what your dad went through. You all went through that. I mean, I went through that. And so did your mom. And so did your dad. The first time that I was ever convicted about going up and everything, Papa Max said, just wait, Tom. Just wait. Well, how's that for a parent? How are parents now today? You know, they raised me. They want to get their kids safe. Well, I'm worried about my boy. I'm worried about my boy. And they come to me and they want me to put the heat on them. I won't do it. But you don't know what a drag it is to go to a child that you know he doesn't understand what you're talking about. And then you ask him, and then all of a sudden you just whammo. With Paul Lee McGuire, I've told you this story many times, so I'll make it short and sweet. They were really concerned about him going to heaven. Well, I would be too, and everybody was. But me, I would go out and I would spend it. I went out and spent a whole day just about one time with him. And I'd get him and I'd talk to him about him and I'd talk to him. Finally, I said, have you received him now? Do you believe that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? He'd say, yep. And I'd say, okay. And then we'd pray together and everything. He'd say all the required words on the Roman road. And then we'd head back toward the house. Last time it happened, I said, I'm writing this off for a while. He said, Brother McElmurray, I want you to know why I'm doing this. And I go, why? He said, because my pop's baptized. He wanted to get baptized because his pop was baptized, and he wanted to have some of that communion wine. Now, listen, this is stuff that preachers have to put up with because people in the church don't understand that God knows what's going on inside that child. He knew what was going on inside me during that 4 years, and Papa Mike agreed with him. And, you know, and I thought, and so went on. Well, listen, this church trusts God. I'm telling you the truth here. What I'm telling you isn't something that I learned by experience or my fine human wisdom. It's what I understood. That's what I liked about old preachers. They preached hellfire and brimstone, and sure, they were wrong about some things. They were wrong when they said that when Jesus said, he said, search the scriptures, for they are they that speak of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Well, right after that he said, one will come who won't teach you the truth. And he said, him you shall receive. He wasn't talking about Jesus. He was talking about Bar Kokhba. Because when the Bar Kokhba showed up some 30 years later, well, not quite that much later, when Bar Kokhba showed up, the head rabbi convinced the Sanhedrin he was the Messiah. And they received him. And it was required that they have one of their fingers cut off to show their loyalty to the Messiah, Bar Kokhba. And that's who Jesus was talking about. Listen, you say, well, I don't believe that because so-and-so sold me something. Well, think about it for yourself. Look at that scripture. The scribes and Pharisees didn't have any righteousness at all. But he said, if another shall come in my name, him ye shall receive. Bar Kokhba came in the name of Messiah, the rabbi, the head rabbi. And they followed him. And look what happened. Now, I teach those things. Did I teach you that when I first came up here? No, I did not. Because I knew what would happen. I knew God meant for me to come here. And I didn't want to come here. Because I still had, like the black lady told me, what I likes about you is so carnal. And I'd make a good preacher because I was carnal. Well, anyway, you've heard all that. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Well, how many heads does he have? Okay, we'll get to that. Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. For the invisible, he says, and upon blah, 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 for the invisible things of the world, of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Listen, when I went out fishing, I went with Papa Mac and I'd go with him, all I had was an old cane pole. Now, they had all these fancy reels, but they wouldn't trust me with one of those things. So I got an old cane pole, and I didn't even get a cork on it. I had to tight line fish. I didn't care. I caught some good fish just tight line fishing, and the minute you feel the impulse, you know just about when to pull it up. You put that cork on there, and Lord knows what's going to happen. He says, that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. Now, for the last 6-7 years, we have taught you so much about the pre-incarnate Christ that I'm sure we have confused some of you. And quite frankly, I did the very best I could not to confuse you, but I had to cover up a lot of manure. And quite frankly, I didn't particularly enjoy it, and I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to split this church and I didn't want to hurt this church. His eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. What's that talking about? Well, I sat on the bank. I noticed the trees. I noticed the grass. I noticed the fish when they jumped up. I learned how to do this and do that. I learned the beauty of the pebbles on the beach. They were all round. That let me understand when they got to the part about David going down to the creek and getting him smooth stones. He got smooth stones because all the light stuff is worn off of them. And there you are down to the core, and it's hard because it's never worn off. It's usually basaltic magma if you're or some type of other type of magma. Limestone is very soft, so you don't find the limestone, which you don't want to hit a giant in the head with that thing. It might not penetrate. But David put the smooth stones and it went right on in. And it didn't go out the other side. It stayed lodged in his head. He said, you don't know that. Well, I strongly suspect it. You say, why? This is what God called me to do. I had no more idea than a moodish goose. But I teach you the truth. And I teach it directly from the book. And if I discover I'm wrong, I don't blame it on God. I blame it on myself. Now, he says, upon his head is the name of blasphemy. Okay, so it says he has 7 heads. 7 letters, the Godhead. Now the word for Jesus is, the word for God is theos. So I got theos because the separation of is such that it does have 7 letters in it. But then after I learned about the Godhead, and I learned that Jesus fulfilled the 3 offices, and it was about, I don't know how many years it was after I got up here before I learned that, but I learned it. And I taught it. I taught it in a nice way where I wouldn't confuse you. But if you go too far with that thing, you'll get people confused and they'll be picking out people in there that are the Lord that aren't the Lord. And it's difficult. It makes it difficult for people. Good Lord, stop and think about how difficult it was for you. And for me, it was difficult. But I would slip in a little thing here and there, a little thing here and there, and I worked on it. Now, this is what I believe God led me to do. And he led me not to tell people in the other churches what I believed about the rapture. You say, he led you to teach a lie. No, I just moved that thing up and down like this and went across there. on my big chart I had about there, and I said, now here's where the rapture is going to occur. And I started off at the first of the week, just waved it up and down, waved it up and down, waved it up and down. And I said, okay, you got that? Good. And I said, let's just go on. And I did that. They knew what I was doing. I wouldn't tell them because it would have hurt them. And if people that have been soaked up in that first of the week position for so long, man, I wasn't. I learned that when I was a boy. And it didn't just stick in there because I just didn't want to admit I was wrong. I didn't have to admit I was wrong. But what I had to do is tell people. Now, here's the word for Godhead. Now, this is the word for Godhead. TH. Now, each one of these is a separate vowel, a separate vowel. TH is a vowel, like in theater. Then E is a separate vowel. I is a separate vowel. O is a separate vowel. T, when it is used in a word alone, is a separate vowel. E is a separate vowel. And S is a separate vowel. You say, well, the S is sometimes plural. You say, well, why is it sometimes in it? Well, the truth is, it depends on how you use it in the word. If it's at the end of the word and it's a part of the word, then it is a vowel or used as a vowel to describe more than one. In any case, here's the word theotes. Theotes. It's harder to pronounce than theos or naos. That means Godhead. Count the vowels. That's how many letters there are in it. And that's what it means. So why am I telling you that? What would have happened if I had told them when I first learned that when I was going from church to church? They would have never listened to anything I had to say. Listen, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, whether you will accept it or not, I was called to do this. No, I'm not one of the two witnesses. I don't think highly of myself. God had to break me. This is my mission. I was a military man. This is my assignment. This is what I'm supposed to do. I think that's why I've lived to be this age. That's why God finally impressed upon me, and I don't know if this is the right interpretation of what he impressed on me. Tom, teach this. Well, I'm teaching it. Look how far we've gotten. Good gracious. Man, we haven't got hardly anyway, have we? Now, what about this eighth horn up here? Do you know what the belief I'm going to tell you what as I go along. Was I taught this in the seminary? No. Was I taught it by another preacher? No. Who taught me? The Word of God. Who is the Word? Jesus. Who is the pre-incarnate Christ? So why does he get on over there toward the end, and I'll answer it before I get there, so you can check it out for yourself. And I'll let you ask anything you want to ask about it when I'm finished, and we'll stop right there wherever we finish. I want you to understand this, and I want you to understand it because God taught me. You say, well, did he whisper in your ear? No. Did he appear to you? No. Have you had dreams and visions? No. Well, how did he teach you? Well, the reason I compliment you all so much back there, you those sneaky old trustees, is because he taught your dad, too. Your dad might have not have been able to put it in the Greek language, but your dad understood that. And I'm sure your dad was also very guarded about what he said about it, because, quite frankly, you can get run off for a church if you teach anything that resembles this. In any case, he says, later on he says, there's an eighth head. Well, what in the world is it? Do you know what the chief god of Assyria was? Well, do you know what the chief gods of Egypt were? I do. Do you know what the chief gods of Assyria were? I do. I know the chief one. I know the chief one of the Egyptians. You know that. You say, are you trying to impress us? No, I'm just trying to get you to understand that this is what I'm supposed to do. And I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it to you. I'm not afraid of you, because I think you want to know what God has to say. And the first thing I'm going to tell you, I ain't anywhere close to God. Lord, I'm so far before the Apostle Paul, I'll probably have to wave at him. Even if I get into, where he'll be waving over the top of the wall, and I may be on the other side of the earth in darkness, for all I know. In any case, do you know about the gods of the Assyrians? How about the Babylonians? How about the Grecians? How about the Babylonians? You know who their chief god was? They had quite a few, but who was their chief god? And do you know? You say, well, that ain't Bible. Yes, it is. Do you know who the chief gods were of the Medo-Persians and the Persians? And do you know who the ones that overran them and killed them? Do you know who they were? You know who the Grecians? Do you know their chief gods? Well, I do. Do you know all about these false religions? Okay. Do you know the chief gods of Rome? Do you know how many they were? Do you know that they had that a wolf had two human children? Do you know about that? You say, that's the biggest bunch of bull I ever heard. That's what heresy is. That's what ungodliness is. That's what they taught at the time that they were in power. Okay, well, that's just six. Who was the seventh? What was the seventh head? Well, they represent different governments and empires. Islam. Who was their prophet? Muhammad. That was the seventh head. You see, I never heard that before. The Bible says that it has an eighth head. Who is their God? Allah. Do they have any other gods? There is no God but Allah. Allah Akbar. They only got one. What about all those that came before Islam? All their gods were false gods, and every one had a different one. Where's your eighth head? It's rising over there right now. Who is it? Islam. What happens when a faith dies and comes back to life? Allah Akbar. That's why they formed the religion. They have the same God that Muhammad had and that the king had and had under Islam. What happened to the religion? It died. It died. It died. Well, when did it get revived? It got revived when the empire arose over there. And the man claimed to be the caliph. That's when it came back to life. That's the only way you can have eight heads. How many preachers did you ever hear in our work preach about the eighth head? They used to, a long time ago. But they couldn't preach very much about it because Islam hadn't even arisen. It arose long after the Roman Empire. Now think all that over. You can verify it from the Bible. So that's what the Godhead word means. It has seven letters in it. And upon his head is the name of blasphemy. What is the greatest blasphemy of all? To claim to be God Himself in person. And when Jesus said to the high priest,
The high priest said, tell us, tell us, tell us now. He stood before him condemned. Jesus did. Tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of the living God, or words to that effect. He said, Thou sayest means, yes, I am. And that's what they crucified him for. That's what they tried to stone him for. Now listen, we are not up against somebody that's as dumb as we are spiritually. If we were born totally depraved, as all missionary Baptists teach, then why are we still here, and why are people still persecuting us? And why is the devil frantically trying to destroy each local church on the surface of this earth? And why has he tried to destroy this church on three occasions? Listen, he's scared of us because he knows we'll discover the greatness of God, and we won't run around being in fear of death. We won't run around having a death wish, but we'll be prepared to do whatever he sets before us. And let me tell you, that is not easy. So here we are, and the next one comes up. It says, well, I'm going to stop right here. Because I got another, well, no, wait a minute. I got a few more minutes. I'm going to keep it here the full time because I want to get this transferred to you, because it was transferred to me by God. And this interpretation, I won't tell you there aren't any mistakes in here, but I am telling you, if I find one of what I'm going through, and I've been working on this for years, I will certainly tell you. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. I mean, well, he claims he claims to be greater than Allah Akbar, or he claims to be Allah Akbar himself. But here's the thing, he convinces himself that he is, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. And this has to be the time that he comes and sits in the temple of God in the latter part of the millennial reign. And this is the Naos of God. It's not the temple per se, because the word Naos can also mean the tabernacle of God, the place of God, wherever God positions himself, showing himself that he is God. What do you think about all these nuts running around claiming to be God? They try to show themselves. They try to prove it to themselves. I won't lie to you. When God first started working with me here when I was young, and when he first called me to the ministry, did it ever cross my mind that I might be one of the two witnesses? I won't lie to you. It did cross my mind. But that's all that ever happened. Because God taught me right quick, I ain't God. And he taught me right quick, I ain't one of the true prophets. I am not one of the prophets that rises up in Israel. I am not. But I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to unite both Jew and Gentile in the Negev wilderness and the first 144,000 that are chosen. And they're going to be in that same city we're in. And they're going to trust the same God we trust. And we're going to love them just as much as we love each other. Because the same, we will be the friends of Abraham. I'm talking about people that live in the city. And I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty on this, and I'm not going to waste any time with it, because, I mean, I'm going to waste time with it going through here, and I'm going to ask you next time, where did I stop? I didn't bring a pen with me. Tell me, you went through 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4. Donna? Yeah, you want to ask a question? I'll start right there, but what I'll do for those people like tomorrow night, I'll review these first two. Thank you for asking that question, Cooney. I'll start with these first three here. I'll go through them very quickly. I'll ask, if there are any here in the, from the Monday night classes that have any questions, and then I'll just start on over. And then I'll say, if you have any questions and you weren't here on Tuesday night, I'll get it right in a minute. Wednesday night, I've only got two more nights to go, haven't I? I only got one more. Boy. Anyway, I'll start right there. I'll start and I'll briefly review this. And then I'll say, now listen, if you want to know how what I exposited on these first three verses, I said I'm going to hit 2 Thessalonians 2:4 real hot and heavy here, because I didn't hit it too hard. And I said, then we're going to stop when I finish it up, and I'm going to do it in both sessions. Notice I told this, a beast, both a king and a kingdom. This is the kingdom of God. It's about a king, it's about a kingdom, it's about a beast, and it's about the tribulation period we're about to go through. And when I go through, I will hit this stuff. And listen, God's been gracious to me. Man, I could never figure some of this stuff out. People say, Brother McMurray, you're so smart. No, God is so smart. Hey, he taught this idiot. He didn't know anything. And so I'm going to really take my time on it. And so anybody got a question about any of what I've covered? Hearing none, we have about 2 minutes left, so I'll just leave it at that. I'll start right here on 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And you can see there are four sheets to this. So if you go through this thing, you say, man, I don't understand this. Tell you what you're going to get next time. You're going to get the same cover sheet. You say, well, don't you trust us? Are you afraid we'll lose them?